Well, I'll test someone Aleph, the fifth line.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Okay, so we were learning yesterday, we were learning about Chutzpah Zmana and Chutzpah Mekoyma, the thoughts that pass all a korban and make it piggle, as the case may be. We said that Chutzpah Zmana makes it piggle, and anybody who eats from it is Chayiv Kares. Chutzpah Mekoyma, having in mind that it'll be eaten or burnt outside of the proper zone, makes it possible but not piggle. Where do we know all this from? The Gemara had mentioned that there were two relevant psukim, one in Parshas Tzav and one in Parshas Kedoshim. The one in Parshas Tzav recalled the Kro Aricha, the long pasuk. It is in fact quite long. And then you have a shorter one in Parshas Kedoshim. Both of them mention the concept of a korban, if it's eaten by Yom HaShlishi, the third day. So we're going back and forth, which one tells us about Chutzpah Zmana, which one tells us about Chutzpah Mekoyma, which one tells us about plain old Noiser. And in the end, Rava had given a long drasha, going phrase by phrase through the pasuk in Parshas Tzav, and explaining how it teaches us about Chutzpah Zmana and Chutzpah Mekoyma, but also showing that only Chutzpah Zmana is going to result in Tigul, which is Chayiv Kares, and Chutzpah Mekoyma will just make it possible and not be Chayiv Kares. So he's not doing anything with the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. So now comes the question. Well, then according to you, what are you doing with the fact that it says the third in the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim? If you're telling me basically that the pasuk in Kedoshim is talking about eating noiser, then why is it have to mention by Yom HaShlishi? Why does it have to mention on the third day? Some korbanos are noiser on the second day already, but in any case, it doesn't have to say, because we already know from other pasukim earlier in Parshas Tzav that which korbanos can be eaten for one day and which can be eaten for two. So Rava answers, that teaches us about the area in which piggle takes place. It has to be triple as far as the blood, the meat, and the emurim. Now, there's many different explanations what that means. Rashi explains that it means if you were to have in mind, for example, with Kodshi Kodshin, and you eat them outside the Azara, or Kodshin Kalam, outside the city, then that would be Chutzpah Mekoyma, it would be possible. Because those are places where you can't do any of those three things. You can't sprinkle the blood there, you can't eat the meat of Kodshin Kodshin in anywhere in the city. If it was Kodshin Kalam, it would be outside the city of Yerushalayim, and you can't burn the emurim there. As opposed to, Rashi says, if you're going to eat it in the Heichel, then that would not make it possible. Because the Heichel is not called a Mokam HaMashulosh, because it has to be a place where none of those things could apply. So it's a Chutzpah Mekoyma, but it wouldn't pass all because the Heichel is not called Mokam HaMashulosh. It's not actually, according to Rashi, the vort is, it's not a place where you could brun the emurim, and it's not a place where you could eat the meat. So it's not Mashulosh. It doesn't have all three factors. It has to be that he has in mind to eat it in a place that conceivably could have these factors.
The Rota.
Right. So if he has in mind Chutzpah Mekoyma, we're talking about Chutzpah Mekoyma. That had the positive in Parshas Kedoshim is teaching us, the word Shlishi is teaching us, as far as Chutzpah Mekoyma, that it has to be a place that's Mesholosh. Now, so that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on it. For one thing, Tosfos says there are actually cases where you could eat Kodshin Kodshim in the Heichel later on in the Masechta. It describes a case. What if Goyim are sieging the Bais HaMikdash, and it's dangerous to be out in the Azara and to eat the Kodshin Kodshim. You could get attacked, and then you could get hit by an arrow or something. So then the din is you're allowed to eat them inside the Heichel. So in that case, the Heichel is a suitable place to eat the meat. That and a number of other questions. So Tosfos goes through a number of other possible answers as well. Maybe it means Mokum Meshulosh means it applies only to the Mizbech HaChitzen, where all three of those can be brought in, the blood, the Emurim, and the meat of the Korbanos that are burnt, as opposed to, in other words, if he had in mind that he's going to do it on the Mizbech HaPnimi. But then Tosfos doesn't like that either and asks questions on that. Maybe it means Mokum Meshulosh means the person himself has to be standing inside the Azara. We learned the other day that conceivably a person could stand outside the Azara and use a very long knife to shecht an animal inside the Azara, and that would be kosher. So maybe Mokum Meshulosh means that, on the other hand, if this person standing outside the Azara and using a long knife has a thought of psul, then it wouldn't work. Again, Tosfos just shoots that down. Then Tosfos just keeps on going through various possibilities. It brings from Rabbeinu Yom Tov who explains that it means that he has in mind to sprinkle the blood in a place where all of them would be possible. Namely, in other words, so according to Rabbi Yom Tov, if he had in mind to sprinkle the blood in Yerushalayim, that would not be considered Chutzpah Mekoyma. Why? Because Yerushalayim is a kosher place to eat the meat of certain korbanos. So therefore, even though this particular one is kodshe kodshim, then nevertheless, you still can't say that it's not mokum mishulish. And then Tosfos added that, so that explains certain things in the sugya, but then there's questions on it as well. Another possibility is it means he has to have in mind that he's going to sprinkle it on a day when everything is going to be possible. So meaning, in other words, you can't, for example, have in mind to just sprinkle the next day, because again, the meat is still going to be kosher the next day. It would have to be that he has in mind to sprinkle it 2 days from now. And Tosfos has questions on that also. So none of the explanations are 100% glatt.
So the word in the pasuk is shlishi.
It's shlishi.
Rava says
it means malkum mishulash, and there's a half a dozen different explanations.
Just as problematic as saying the pasuk shlishi. It's not that there's
clarity. It means something. It means that there's some area that it means that there's something, some area or some time or whatever where machshava will be ineffective. What that is going to depend on these various explanations. Okay, so they want to ask, why do you need that? Typically, Mikurakama. Why? You could learn the concept of Mokam Mishulash from the Udi, the one in Parshas Tzav. Im Ha'ochel Ya'ochel, where it says, if the meat is going to be eaten on the third day. So now we're saying that they were talking about Chutzpah's Manoi, but Mida'apke Rachmana Beloshin Shlishi, but because the Torah phrases it using the word Shlishi, you can also learn about this concept of Mokam Mishulash. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, Amrita l'shmaita kamedir. That's one of Tosfos' questions on Rashi, is why we should learn that way. Why should we say, because it says shlishi, therefore we should take it out of context and say that it means makam mishulosh. So that's one of the problems that Tosfos has with Rashi's explanation.
Anyway, it's a Gemara, it's not Rashi.
Well, Rashi is explaining that it means that that because the Torah phrases with a shlishi, therefore, we can learn from it regarding Chutz the Mekoymai, yeah. But that Tosfos' question is, what does that mean? Why should, if the word Shlishi is in connection with Chutz Lezmanai, why are we trying to learn something from it about Chutz the Mekoymai?
Okay, but,
what's
this line over here?
That the fact that the Torah phrases it as Shlishi, and you're going to learn from that, Mokam Mishulash. The question is, why would we learn Mokam Mishulash, which is Chutz Mekoymai? Why would we learn that when we're talking about Chutz Lezmanai? So a few of Tosfos' answers address that point. A few of Tosfos' suggestions.
I'm a little bit slow. Typically, Mikra Kame Me'achayachim.
Right.
Look, if learned from something earlier, it said, if you eat it, so that's also...
In that pasuk, Im Ha'achayachim. Mida Apke Rachmana Beloshin Shlishi. Later on in that pasuk, it says the word Bayeyma Shlishi. Now you're going to say, now from there you don't need the shlishi in Parshas Kedoshim.
No, different pasuk.
Yeah, you can use the shlishi in this very pasuk to teach us Mokam Mishulash.
Do that.
That's the question. Why do we need then? Why do we need the pasuk in Kedoshim at all?
Why did Rava learn the pasuk?
Why did Rava learn the same Mokam Mishulash? Right.
Amar Rav Ashi.
Amar Rav Ashi answers, I'm Ritzel Shmaitak, I made it a Masna. I told over this teaching in front of a Masna, Omali, and he answered me, Ime Hosam. The problem with that would be, if we learned it only from the first Pasuk, from the one in Tzav, Hava Amina, then we would understand the Pasuk differently. We would say, Shlishi Prat, Pigol Kwal. We would say, Shlishi would be a Prat, that it means Davka, a certain area, for example, according to Rashi, not in the Hegel, Pigol Kwal, and the word Pigol would mean that there's no limit. Nasa klal mosif ala prat. So then we would have a prat of klal, and the rule is that then the klal broadens the prat to include everything. The slabu sham aplanus, and we would end up including everything. So therefore, so if we did it that way, we wouldn't end up learning mokum mishulash. Famashmalan, therefore, the pasuk tells us that you need mokum mishulash, therefore you need a second pasuk, so that you don't have a, so you don't have this way of learning it as a klal, as a prat of
klal. So again,
according to Rashi, Mokam Mishulash means that when he has a thought of Chutz Mekoymai, it's not that he's having a thought to eat it in the Hegel. That wouldn't make it possible, according to Rashi.
Mokam Mishulash means you have to think that Chutz Mekoymai has to be
a place that would be Mokam Mishulash. According to Rashi's explanation, that it means the Hegel. Since the Hegel is not a place where you can do dam or basel or imurim, because you can only do dam in there, then therefore it's not called Mokam Mishulash.
So,
as opposed to,
how do I have a machsheva of Chutz Mekoymai? Am I in the place or am I thinking about it?
Chutz Mekoymai is that you're standing in the Azara and you're having in mind someplace Chutz Mekoymai.
So it could only be, the only way to have Chutz Mekoymai is a place that just has kosher.
That's just unkosher. That's just as unkosher to do all three of them. Outside the Azara is possible for all three of them. But the heichel is possible for only, is kosher for one of them and possible for the other two.
The chutz mekayim has to be that it's fully non-kosher.
Right.
And for all the parts.
That's according to Rashi. And then you have Tosis' various explanations of different other possibilities. But again, it means that it applies only to the mizbeach and chitzah and not the
mizbeach. But before we go into Rashi, the simple meaning of the Gemara
is... that if we tried to use the shlishi from Tzav, we would end up dashing it as a prat or klal.
Before we go into that, I'm thinking even simpler, because I missed yesterday. Yeah. If I want to do chutzim kaimai, it has to be that it's prat for b'dam of murin. So the chiddush is that if it's kosher for one of these or two of these three, that's not chutzim kaimai.
Well, that's according to Rashi, yes. What? That's according to Rashi's explanation of Malkum Rishon Rashi.
Okay.
Good. All right. Turn it up. We learned it a braisa. Let's work out the basic concept. How we know that the thought of chutzim koymo is what passes the korban and makes it pivotal. Turn it up. The im ha'ochol ya'ochol mubsal zevach shlomim. The pasuk says, if there is eaten from the meat of a shlomim, this is the pasuk from Tzav that we've been working on all along. So what does this mean? Now, on the surface, you would balabatish, you would understand the pasuk. If the korban is eaten on the third day, then it's possible.
Yeah.
However, Amar Rav Eliezer, but Rav Eliezer says that's not what it means. Koif oznecha lishmoya. Bend your ear to listen. In other words, you're going to this is not going to be intuitive. This is going to be very counterintuitive, but listen anyway, because this is what it means. There's an interesting vort, by the way, from the Shem Bishmol, the Sachachavar, that says that the vort is, he says, there's two things that would prevent a person from absorbing Torah and from absorbing Torah properly. There can be his tigers, and there can be that he learns Chochmas Chatzonius and whatever. So each of them has to be dealt with in an appropriate way. The one with Chochmas Chatzonius, he thinks of himself too highly. Look how knowledgeable I am. So he needs bittul to learn Torah. That's the koif of the Cholashmayim. Bend yourself, bend your ear, and make sure that you have bittul to be able to understand what we're teaching you here. Anyway, so he says, the pasuk is talking about where he thinks to eat from the korban on the third day. Again, think doesn't mean thinks, doesn't mean speaks. That you have the whole machlokas we're showing him that we've talked about before. But anyway, it means dafka when he does that. You could argue, how do you know that not? Maybe attack means if the korban is eaten on the third day, then it's possible. A mountain, no, says Rabbi Eliezer, you can't say that because you have to say, achafu kosher. After the korban has already been kosher by sprinkling the blood properly, yachzavi apostle, how all of a sudden, 3 days, 2 days later, does it all of a sudden become apostle because you left over the meat? It doesn't work that way, says Rabbi Yezri. Therefore, necessarily, it has to mean machshava. Omer lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, what's the problem with that? I can give you an example where something was thought to be kosher and it turns out retroactively to be apostle. Hein matzina b'zav v'zav of shemer siyem k'neged yoyim. Hein b'chez kastara. Consider all these cases of a zav and zav and zav and zav. So Rashi explains, let's say, so they each have to count seven clean days. When we say zav, we mean a zav and dola. We have to count seven clean days. So now, let's say, for example, Rashi says she's counted 4 years. She has counted 4 or 5 days and then they have a new re'iyah. Then they lose their whole count and have to start all over. So therefore, so you see that even though they thought that they're on the way to Tara, it turns out that the Shemerisian Keneged Yoyim. And similarly, the Shemerisian Keneged Yoyim, Zavakana, during the 11 days when she can't be a Nida, so if she has a flow 1 or 2 days, then she needs a clean day, Shemerisian Yoyim, Keneged Yoyim, and if she has a flow on that day, then it ruins it and anything she touched that day is going to be Tomei retroactively.
One day, though.
Yeah. In other words, if she had a flow on Sunday, and then she has to keep Monday as a clean day. So now, if nothing happens on Monday, then good. Then good. So then she can go to the mikveh, and then she can go to the mikveh, and comes Monday night, she'll have a
head. Anything she touched on Monday, still touched.
If she has another re'iyah on Monday, then retroactively it becomes Tomei.
That's Rabbi Akiva.
That's Rabbi Akiva's point. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos points out that you can't really call, in the case of the Zavah to Zavah, if they have 4 or 5 clean days, you can't really call a Ches to Sarah. Rather, Tosfos says, you're talking about, it's the seventh day. They went through the whole 7 clean days, they toibled, now they're waiting for the head of Shemesh. Now, on that last day, if they have a re'iyah, boom, the whole thing's gone. Therefore, so now you really have. They had a Ches to Sarah.
That's
day.
More comparable to Yom Keneged Yom, because it's only one day.
Right. In any case, so the kilim should roll. So shemer the shemer siyem kinegdim. Shem becheskas tara. All of them have a chazaka of being tara. The kilim should roll sasru. But if they have a re'iyah during one of the days that are supposed to be clean, then they takes it all away and has to start all over. So what's this? What are you so surprised about? That could be possible over here. That even though the korban was kosher at the time, now you left over from it. Now it became retroactively. It became retroactively possible. Omalei. So the Eliezer answers him, no, there's a different reason why we have to say that it refers to Machshava. Harehu Oimer, the Pasuk says, Hamakriv, the Pasuk says, the one who offers it, that means Bashasak Klovel Nifsel can only become possible at the time that it's offered. Bein Nifsel Moshlishi, it can't become possible on the third day, 2 days after that. Okay, the question is, Oimer Hamakriv Elazeb Koyin Hamakriv, how do you know? Maybe the word Hamakriv means the Koyin himself who brings the korban. We had parts of this Jerusha, by the way, we had before when Rava brought his long Jerusha on this Pasuk. He used parts of this Jerusha in his whole analysis of the Pasuk.
All the cases are there.
Anyway.
Sorry,
anyway, so fine. So how do you know? Maybe the word Hamakriv means Elazar Kohen Hamakriv. Maybe it means the Kohen himself is no longer kosher as a Kohen because he did this. No, Shoima Oisai, as we learned yesterday, because it says Oisai, it. Therefore, we learn the Zevah from Madabra, the Madabra of Kohen. So therefore, it means only the Kohen becomes fossil, the Kohen does not. So therefore, so says Rabbi Eliezer, you have a logical point, Rabbi Akiva, but still the Pasuk is making it clear from the word Hamakriv and Oisai that it's only at the time of the Hakrava and it's only the Korban that becomes possible, not the Kohen, and not later on. Okay, so the Gemara brings.
So this was trying to say that the Kohen should be able to become.
We would have thought that maybe the Kohen himself becomes possible for having brought a Korban with such a Machshava. So therefore, we're saying that no, the Oisai tells us that not.
Okay.
Ben Azai learns differently. Ben Azai has a different drosha from that word Oisai. Oisai matam ablema. What do you do with the word Oisai? He says, Lefisha nemel, Oisai achal shamoi. Given that the Pasuk says you can't delay bringing your korbanos, you have to bring it. There's a little sugya in Rosh Hashanah about how long you have from when you give a neder and a dava until you're over on Val Ta'achar. One yom to two yom to three. Three in order, et cetera. It's a whole Sylvia over there, of course, extending over the top of that. So it says, it's loisa achal l'shama, don't delay bringing it. Yochel af ma'achal nidre below yerotza. So you would think maybe it means that if a person delays his neder, then it's also lo yerotza. It's too late and his korban is not going to be acceptable by Hashem. Shama blema oisai. That is why the pasuk says oisai over here. Oisai below yerotza veina ma'achal nidre below yerotza. It means that only here, where we had a thought of chutz manoi, does it make the korban pigle and not acceptable by Hashem. As opposed to if we delayed bringing it, then that doesn't make it possible.
So you're trying. Okay, fine.
Not chutzim kaimai. Talking about
chutzmanai.
No, not chutzmanai either. What we're saying is
what's oisai
means chutzmanai. But in other words, so a person promised. We're trying to go through
the scenarios.
No, what we're saying is like this. Ben Azai is saying oisai has a different meaning than Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was assigning the meaning oisai to tell us don't think the kohen becomes possible just the kohen becomes possible. Ben Azai says that's not what it means. The Gemara is going to explain to me how Ben Azai knows that the kohen doesn't become possible. But he uses the oisai for a different point. Person made a neder, let's say, for example, here. It's in the middle of sukkahs. Person makes a neder, I'm going to bring a korban. He doesn't bring it to sukkahs. He doesn't bring it the next time he's going to make the Pesach or Shavuos. He doesn't bring it the next year's sukkahs. Eventually, he's over on Baal Ta'achar. Eventually, according to the various Tanoim, at some point, according to everybody, he's over on Baal Ta'achar. Maybe now, finally, he wakes up Hanukkah of the next year and decides to bring the korban. How do we know? That's not possible. That, we have the word oisai. Oisai, only pigle, is not acceptable by Hashem. But when he delayed fulfilling his neder, then that doesn't make the korban unacceptable. Achirim, which usually means Reb Meir, says lo yechoshev. They say another meaning of what it means is like this. Here's another way of showing that the soul is only in the machshava at the time and not because the korban was left over for Adam. Because lo yechoshev, the pasuk says it should not be thought, means machshava nifsal, it becomes possible only with machshava, the ein nifsal shlishi. It doesn't become possible on the third day from when it was built. So that's another. So in other words, we have three different ways of learning that pigul means machshava. We had Rabbi Yezer's first way is because And because, logically, after it was kosher, how could it become possible a few days later? Rabbi Akiva shot that down. So then Rabbi Eliezer had said, because it says Hamakriv, which means only B'shas HaKrov, and you're going to think Hamakriv means the Kohen is possible. No, the Oisei tells us not. Then Azeh says, never mind, Oisei is needed for a different drosha. Now, Achera Masen, here's another way to know that becoming possible with Makshava at the time, precisely because the Torah uses the word Lo Yechotchev. So that implies that it's the Makshava that passes it at the time. All right, the Gemara asks, when Azeh did Zevah HaKosim Adab of Einim Akoyim Minolei, fine, how does when Azeh know that the Torah is not telling us that the Koyim becomes possible, given that he's using the word Oisei for a completely different drosha? And the answer is, one possibility he can learn it from the same place as Achirim do, because since the Pasuk has to say that it doesn't become possible on the third day, necessarily we have to be talking about the Korban. After all, Rashi points out, if you were going to say that the Korban becomes possible 2 days later, who is it that makes it possible? The one who failed to eat it, not the Korban who brought it at the time.
Correct.
So therefore, why would we think the Korban would become possible because somebody else failed to eat it 2 days later?
Right.
Obviously, according to Achirim, if we're learning from Lo Yechoshev that it means it becomes possible at the time of the Hakrava and not 2 days later, there's no way, in other words, that you could understand from that, precisely because the Pasuk says, V'einim nifsal b'shlishi, the fact that the Torah has to tell us it won't become possible 2 days later automatically means the Korban is not going to be possible. Because otherwise, there'd be no Havam, that the Kohen would be possible. So, therefore, he doesn't need a separate drasha from, so therefore, Ben Azai could hold the same way, therefore, he doesn't need the word Oisei to teach us that the Kohen is not possible. The Rashi explains it like this. Since the Pasuk has to imply to us that the Korban does not become possible 2 days later, necessarily it has to be talking about the Korban and not the person who brought it. The Ibe Zeveach, because if it was talking about the Zeveach, the Korban, Lomo Yipossible Shlishi, what's the Havam in it that he would become possible 2 days later? He didn't do anything wrong. The one who failed to eat it is the one who did something wrong. So therefore, the fact that the Pasuk has to stress for us, Lo Yechoshev, the Machshava Hu Nifsal, the Eni Nifsal Vashlishi, automatically means we're talking about the Psul of the Korban and not a Psul of the Korban.
So the Psul of the Korban. At the time. Joshua teaches that it's no.
Right. But not the Psul of the Kohen, and therefore, so Ben Azai can also use that Jerusha, and therefore he doesn't need the word Oisei to teach us that the Kohen is not possible.
Okay.
So therefore he can use Oisei for a different Jerusha about where he delayed bringing the Korban. That's one possibility. Because the Pasuk says Lo Yerotze will not be acceptable, the Lo Yerotze Zivchahu, and the expression Lo Yerotze refers to the acceptability of the Korban. We never find Lo Yerotze referring to the acceptability of a Korban for the Avodah.
Yes.
And therefore, so Lo Yerotze automatically implies we're talking about the Korban. Okay. So now, question is, so now, what about Ben Azai? Now, we said Ben Azai says Oisei below Yerotze, Ve'en Ma'acha Nidra below Yerotze. Ben Azai is saying that from Oisei, we learn that a person who delays bringing his neder is not, it doesn't become unacceptable because he grew it a year and a half later. The question is, Mehocha Nafka, is that where we learn it from? From the word Oisei? Mida Achirim Nafka, don't we learn it from a drosha, another drosha of Achirim? The Tanya. Achirim, I mean, Yochol Yehei, Bechor she'ibra shnosei kipsulei hamukdashin. Maybe you should consider a bechor is supposed to be brought during its first year of life as a korban. Maybe if you delayed it beyond the first year, it should be considered like psulei hamukdashin, as though it has a mum, the apostle, and it should be considered apostle. No, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Ve'achalta lifnei Hashem lekecha masa v'gan chavagamer." Therefore, the pasuk says, "You should eat before Hashem your maaser of your grain," and it lists a whole bunch of things: grain of your grain, wine, and oil, and the bechoris of your bechor chavetzoncha. It's going to be tomorrow's kriya actually tomorrow yeah so therefore makish b'chor l'maiser, so therefore that means we have a hekish between b'chor and maiser sheni. Ma maiser eni nifsal mishonel chavata, just like maiser does not become possible from 1 year to the next, and we know that because you have the whole concept of b'yur maisers. You have the whole concept that you could keep the maisers in your barn for a couple of years, and only when it comes the time of b'yur maisers do you go and give it out and then deal with what needs to be dealt with. So Maisa doesn't become possible from 1 year to the next. So we learn from that at Bechor, and if someone Shana Lachavata, so Bechor also doesn't become possible from 1 year to the next. So he's over on Balta Acher, but nevertheless it doesn't become possible. So therefore, so we know it's from that Derosha. Why do we need the Derosha from the word Oisei? And there are a few explanations, by the way, that Achronim discuss why Taka we would have thought that it should be possible in the first place, that we would think that why would we think it's considered a mum? One of, among them is, for example, he did an Aveda after all. He did Bal Taka. Maybe Taka, the Korban, should not be considered acceptable anymore. Maybe Hashem doesn't want a Korban that was brought under such conditions.
And don't we say Ovar Yom Batal Korbani?
That's it, sorry, right. As far as the Korban is Tibur, Ovar Yom Batal Korbani, yeah.
Does it apply the same logic,
maybe? Tosfos, by the way, talks about over here that so was. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer had darshan that any nifsal was shlishi, but he still needs a posik that the koyin is not possible. So what's the problem if we have? So what's the problem if we also have? What's the problem if, according to Ben Azay, we have a posik that it's not that the korban is not possible, that the korban is what's possible, and not that the koyin is possible? And the answer is Tosfos says because Rabbi Eliezer is darshaning from Lo Yechoshev, that's Machshava that passes it. So maybe, therefore, in other words, you could say the Lo Yechoshev can also be understood, Loshen Chashivos. The Koyim loses his Chashivos as a result of it. And therefore, you need the word Oysay to tell us now. Then Azay is darshaning Lo Yechoshev, clearly Loshen Machshava. So automatically, he's not referring to the Koyim, so therefore, what is he doing? So therefore, what is he, so why does he need a plus to tell us that the Koyim is not possible? Anyway, so we're learning that from the fact that from the Hekesh of Bechor and Meiser, why do we need the word Oisoi? And the answer is Itzrich, we still need it. Sakurat Chamina, Hanimi the Bechor, the La Bahart Sar, because you could argue a Bechor is not meant as a Kapara. It's just the Torah tells you have a Bechor, remember, we have by Tzias Mitzrayim, Hashem saved the Bechorim, and therefore bring it in gratitude to Hashem. Aval Kodshim Dmei Hatzah Ninu, but other Korbanos, which are brought as a Kapara for a person, and that means, not even, for example, a Chatas or an Oshem, Rashi points out, even an Ola, for example, we learned in the first parak, an Ola is a Chapa for a Mitzvah, for being Ogran, a Mitzvah Saseh. A Shlomim is being brought to make peace, to make Sholem, Ben Yisrael, Avim Shem Hashemayim. So those accomplish something as far as Kapara, as far as Hatzah. So you would think, maybe since an Aveda was done with them, maybe they should not be acceptable. So therefore we need both. We need the Hekesh between Bechor and Meiser, but we also need the word Oysa. All right, but you want to ask about Kati Mehosam Nafka? Still, you're telling me that you're learning it from Oysoi? Mehosam Nafka, you have yet another place where you learn it from. The Pasuk says about Loisaka, Bahoya Bechochet, there will be a sin in you if you fail to bring your korban in time, meaning Beloy Bechobon Chachet, but your korban has not sin, and is not fossil because of it. The answer is Ben Azay, because Ben Azay answers back to that, Ben Azay learns that pasuk differently. It means that you will have a sin, but not your wife. Now, what does that mean? Why would you think that what person's wife is involved? Rabbi Elazar said, or some say Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein ishte shel adam mesa, elim ken mevakshim menu mamin ve'ein loy. Oppose a man's wife doesn't die prematurely unless there's demanded of him money and he doesn't give it. Rashi says we're talking about where he stole. Tosfos says, no, we're talking about over here, where, for example, he made a neder for tzedakah or a korban or whatever, and he's failing to do it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, im ein lacha l'shalim, if you don't have what to pay, loma yikach mishkov hamitachtecha, why should Hashem take away the one who you sleep with, which is your wife, from under you? So in other words, the implication of the pasuk is that can happen. Now, she's not going to die if she doesn't have something of her own that she needs to die because of. But Hashem, they talk about the difference between a boss of a dumb, boss of a dumb justice. You have to sentence somebody to jail or to be executed or whatever. They can't possibly have in mind all the effects that it'll have on all the people, on those relatives and the people we know. It'd be impossible to do that. But the Eibishter is able to do that, and therefore he can make sure that if, on the one hand, she herself needs to go, but also it wouldn't happen unless the husband was guilty of not paying off something that needs to pay.
Five worst things we have in the Mishnah. So now
you would think the high oven to Bal Ta'achar Nami Mesa. So now you would think maybe she would die also because of Bal Ta'achar. To Mashmalah, and that's for the Hoy B'Chochei, below the Ishtachochei. So that Ben Azay is doushing the Pasuk that way. So therefore, see, that's what he's learning from Oysoi. But as far as the fact that the Korban is not possible, for that we have other Dirushes. Okay. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says, Acherim, remember, said in the Braise before that Acherim had Darshan, that since it says, Lo Yechotiv, the Machshava, Nipsal, Vein, and Nipsal, Vasliji, then it means it becomes possible only through Machshava at the time of the Korban, not on the third day. So the question is, Rabbi Yezer, my lo yichlasher, my oven. Like, what does Rabbi Yezer doing with those words lo yichlasher? And the answer is mivoy lo yichid Rabbi Yanai. He uses it to teach us what Rabbi Yanai says. D'am Rabbi Yanai minayim machshavas shemitzias zumizu. How do we know that one machshava can cancel out one another? As we talked about before, and as we're going to discuss in much more detail in the next mishnah, that if he had doing one avoda, let's say he had a thought of chutz l'makomo, and doing a different avoda, a thought of chutz l'zmanai, then it won't become pigul. For it to be pigul, it has to be that there's chutz l'zmanai and nothing else that would pass it. So how do we know that? That one machshava cancels out the other. We learn that from the word lo, shenana lo yichotiv. But the pasuk says it will not be thought, meaning shalo ya'arav by machshava zacheres. For it to be pigul, there cannot be anything mixed. There cannot be any other machshava mixed in. Okay. Rav Mori Mas, you know, Rav Mori learns differently. He says, Omer Rav Yana, minayim l'machashav the potshim shu loike. Rav Yana, according to another version of what Rav Yana says, is how do we know that a person has a wrong thought about potshim shu loike, that he's going to get malchus for it? Therefore, the pasuk is lo yechashav, which we can understand as if it said lo yachshav, he is not allowed to think this thought of soul. So it's a lo yechashav. If it's thinking, then certainly there's no maisa. Even if it's speaking, then speaking is not usually considered a maisa. So the whole lav shein maisa, and like you know, usually you don't get malchus for such a thing. This that I just taught is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there is malchus for a lav shein maisa. So in fact, it is counted as one of the Rambam counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. However, since we hold like the Chachamim that there's no malchus for lav shein maisa, then there's no malchus involved.
Lav shein maisa.
Lav shein maisa, so therefore no malchus.
This is what lav is not. Not to think
the thought of pigul or anything else which would pass the kirk. Not shaloi, not chutz l'makomo, not shaloi l'shmoi by the korbanos that are passed with shaloi l'shmoi.
In the thoughts, you shouldn't think there's only one that could really get you in trouble, which is namely pigul.
Well, yeah.
It's a disclusion of all others.
Right. Yeah. So there is in fact a law not to do that. And by the way, the Gemara in Gittin talks about that there's a takonim and tikkun olam over there that if a kohen was mefagel somebody's korban, then he's obligated to pay because he calls him a hezek. We'll still be over there with a hezek sheni nicker, etc. Again.
The maskana pigle is taka just thinking, not saying it.
No, so that's the machlokas we're showing him. So Rashi clearly says that it means that he has to. Speak it. Tosfos in some place in the beginning of the Masechta also talks about that he has to speak it. Although there are other places where Tosfos seems a little iffy about it.
Well,
the Rambam's shita we're not 100% sure. The Mishnah or Melech learns in the Rambam that he holds that thought alone is enough. The Chinuch clearly says that thought is enough. But there are other mafoshim who learn the Rambam differently and learn that he would also agree with Rashi and possibly Tosfos that it means speaking. So the Mishnah says, Zehakfal, the rule is as follows, Kol ha-sheichet ha-mekabel va-mahalech va-azordet, and he does any of these four avodas, lechol, dover shedakar lechol, he has in mind to eat something which is meant to be eaten, the flesh of the korban, not, for example, the bones of the emurim, lahakter, dover shedakar lahakter, or to burn something which is meant to be burnt, the emurim, and not to mix them up, as we said before, Rabbi Yez, we learned before that Rabbi Yez would hold that it's possible to make it pigle by thinking about the emurim to eat them or the flesh to burn them, but the chacham hold not. In any case, the kezayis chutz l'makomo, if he has in mind to do this with a kezayis, chutz l'makomo, if he has in mind chutz l'makomo, outside the proper place, posel ve'en ve'koris, chutz l'zmanai, pigle v'chayovin alokoris. However, it becomes pigle, as we learned before, in Rava's Derasha, only if the blood was applied according to its mitzvah, and there's no other psul involved. What does that mean? So suppose he did the shchita quietly, without having any past any machshava that would disqualify it. And then he did any of the following three avodas with a thought of chutzuzmanai, or the shchita was with a thought of chutzuzmanai, and the other three avodas were quiet, or he did all four of them with chutzuzmanai. Ultimately, once the blood is applied to the mizbeach properly, then it becomes pigul. That's what we learned in Rava's Derasha, because it says, lo yerotze, only at the moment when the ritzui would usually take place, namely that the blood is applied to the mizbeach, then that's when it becomes pigul. But it has to be that there was no other thought of psul involved. Hates a loikar of a matzah mitzvah. What do we mean where the matzah was not brought If you're in the shritta, you had in mind chutzim koyme. Kibo behilach mazarach chutzim mane, and the other three avodas, you had in mind chutzim mane. Or shachat chutzim mane, kibo behilach mazarach chutzim koyme. Or the first one was chutzim mane, and the other three chutzim koyme. Or shachat the kibo behilach mazarach chutzim koyme. All is mane. You had all three or all four, then you had in mind chutzim koyme. A pesach lachatas a shachat and shalad shman. Or in the case of the pesach lachatas, whereas we learned at the beginning of the sefer, that was apostle if the shalad shman. So if he shechted them shalad shman, the kibo behilach mazarach chutzim mane, and did any of the other three avodas chutzim mane. And did one of the other avodas for Leishman, or she shachat the kibul v'hilach v'zarach daman for Leishman, zeh shleikar of a matir k'mitzvah, say, the matir has not been brought properly because there's a different soul involved. And as we just said before, machshavas motzias, one machshava cancels out the other and prevents it from becoming kibul. That's according to that.
This is the mitzvah of kibul.
Not really the mitzvah, but this is how pigle works, yeah.
The rules of pigle, yeah.
Now, on the other hand, what happens, kazayas the chutz, kazayas the mocher. What happens if he has in mind to eat a kazayas of it outside the proper place, and a different kazayas tomorrow, kazayas the mocher, kazayas the chutz, so the other way around. So Rashi says before we were talking about in two different avodas. Here we're talking about within the same avoda. He has in mind that one kazayas is going to eat tomorrow, and the other one b'chutz. Or a half a kazayis outside, a half a kazayis tomorrow. Possible, but in the chorus, then in all those cases, possible, but there's no chorus. Because not kimitzvase, right. The Gemara actually is going to bring a machloikas. The Gemara is going to bring a machloikas amiroyim, whether we're talking about over here within two different avodas, or within the kazayis for mocha, kazayis for chutz, and all that, whether we're talking about across two avodas, or whether we're talking about within one avoda. So here Rashi tells us we're talking about within one avoda, but we're going to see that there are machloikas Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan about whether it applies across two avodas as well. But nevertheless, the Chatzi Zayis and the Chatzi Zayis combine together, so therefore it's possible, but there's no Karis. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says not so simple. The rule is as follows. If the Machsheves Man came first, then it will be Pigul. The fact that later on the Machsheves Mokim is not going to cancel that out. But if the Mokim came first, possible ain't by Karis. Then I agree it'll be possible. So in other words, when we said, for example, that if he shechted with Shaloy and did the Kabbalah and one of the other avodas, where the Tanakhama says that it won't be pigle, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says in that case it will be pigle. It's not part of a matzah k'mitzvase. Rabbi Yehuda says once you had a machshava of pigle, we don't care about any machshavas that happen after that. The Chum say, as they said earlier in the Mishnah, that either way it's possible and there's no karis. If he has in mind to eat a half a kazayis chutz manay and to burn a half a kazayis chutz manay or both of them chutz mekayme kosher, then it'll be kosher she'en achilu b'aktorim mitzarfin, because eating and burning do not combine together. Although the Gemara is actually going to bring a case later on Daf Lamed Aleph where they do combine. Both of them are chutz manay and both of them are chutz mekayme, but one's to eat and the other's to burn. So he has in mind to eat half a kazayis of the meat, chutz manay, and to burn half a kazayis of the emurim, chutz mekayme, then we're saying it doesn't combine. So they
won't
carbon is kosher.
What if it's both chutz manay?
Isn't that what I said? Yeah, both of them.
One is chutz manay, one is chutz mekayme.
No, then I said it wrong. Even if both of them are chutz manay, but one to eat and one to burn, then still they're not mitzarif, because ain't achilu b'aktorim mitzarif.
That was almost what we started off with, that it has to be. Did shadarkin? Get the mission. It has to be shadarkin. That's not shadarkin.
Right, but it means, and it has to be a kazayas of either one individually, a kazayas to eat or a kazayas to burn.
Yeah, because shadarkin it's not the shear, especially not the shear.
Right, it's not the shear. So the Gemara is going to end up, like I said, on Zaf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara is going to bring a case where actually they could combine together, but we'll get to that eventually. We'll get to that over yonder.
Well, the Havamina would be that they're both Achila ones.
That's the answer. If he has in mind, La'achilas Mizbeach and La'achilas Adam, if he doesn't express it in his words or in his thoughts or whatever, as to burn it on the Mizbeach, but rather that the Mizbeach should consume it, and that a person should consume it, then it's both Achila.
Then it combines.
Then it combines, yeah.
So basically, the Chacham say pigle is very exclusive,
yeah.
And Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a little bit less exclusive. Right. Which, again, Rabbi Yehuda's approach is definitely the more logical, the more once you tamper with something, so then tamper with, right? To break the seal.
But broken. Nevertheless, we're saying that it's still possible to turn it from pigle. Remember, it doesn't actually become pigle until the zrika. So the Chacham is saying there's still room to make it not pigle anymore, but rather just make it possible with a different machshava.
Save the cars. Get out of the cars.
Get out of the cars. Okay, so let's learn at least the beginning of the Gemara, which talks about a fundamental machloikus in the understanding of this part of the Mishnah about kazayis v'chutz kazayis v'machon. Omer ilfa machloikus v'shtei avodis. When we have this machloikus that Rabbi Yehuda says that depends which machshava came first, that would be across two different avodis. If there were two different avodas involved, so for example, he did the shechita, having in mind that he's going to eat kezayis v'machos, and he did the kabbalah, that he's going to eat kezayis v'chutz, that's where Rabbi Yehuda is saying that once it was already established as pigle, then it can't be undone, you can't take away a different machshava, can't cancel that out. But if it was within one avoda, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, because you can't have a combined machshava of that. It's not going to make it pibul. Everybody would agree that's considered a mixture of machshavas, and therefore doesn't make it pibul.
This is
machshavas of who? This is Ilfa is explaining. The machshavas in our Mishnah. Okay. Again, when he had in mind...
Those are the chavent?
Rabbi Yehuda and the chavent, yes. When we said in the Mishnah that if he has in mind kezayis v'chutz, kezayis v'mofer, kezayis v'mofer, kezayis v'chutz, either way it's only possible not pigle, because according to the Chachamim, you have to have pigle and nothing else. And there Rabbi Yehuda is coming in and saying, no, if the pigle came first, then it's pigle and nothing's taking that away. Now, Ilfa is saying, when would Rabbi Yehuda hold that? When he had a thought of pigle, when he had the thought of pigle in one avoda, and then he had the thought of chutz v'mekoyma in another avoda. So then we would say once an entire avoda was done with chutzas manai, then Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't take that away. But Ilfa is saying if it was within one avoda itself, he had in mind he's going to have kezayis v'chutz, kezayis v'mocha, then kezayis v'mocha, kezayis v'mocha, kezayis v'chutz. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not considered pigle.
Because that makes sense. Pigle.
Yeah, it's mixed up.
Pigle must be pure.
Sure, yeah. Tos just discusses over here that maybe shtei avodas doesn't necessarily mean two different avodas. It could conceivably mean the two parts of the shritta, because you have two pipes that have to be shut in the shritta, so conceivably we could be talking about shtei avodas could conceivably mean cutting the one simon and cutting the other simon, and Tos just discusses the possibilities of that.
Wow.
Anyway. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Avoda achas machloikas. The machloikas is even within one avoda itself. Even there, Rabbi Yehuda will hold if the pigle came first, then it remains pigle. And afterwards, having a thought, even during the same avoda of chutz l'mekoyma, is not going to take away pigle. So the Gemara says bishleima le'ilfa. It's easy to understand according to Ilfa how the Mishnah is flowing. Midir reisha b'shnei avodas. The reisha is talking about different avodas. Shchita versus kabbalah versus halacha, etc. Sefer nami b'shnei avodas. So it makes sense that sefer is also talking about two different avodas. Ever a little bit different. Reisha b'shnei avodas v'sefer avoda achas. Why is it all of a sudden switching to one avoda? And the answer is yeah, you have to say according to Rabbi Yochanan, reisha b'shnei avodas. The reisha is in fact talking about separate avodas. Sefer, ben b'avodachas, ben b'shnei avodas, but the sefer will apply to whether one avodah or two. And the Gemara says it's not. In fact, we can learn in our Mishnah that it works, the wording works out better according to Rabbi Yehuda. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Zakhlal, im machsheves zman kodmol machsheves amokim, if the thought of zman, chutz zmano, came before the thought of chutz amokim, tigul v'chayov and alakaris, what's Zakhlal? Means to add something. Bishleim, lo Rabbi Yehuda, and hainu kothani Zakhlal. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Zakhlal, not only in the case of two avodas, but even in the case of one single avoda. El ilfa mai Zakhlal, according to Ilfa, why bother saying Zakhlal? There's only one case where Ilfa would hold that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's pigul and it remains pigul is only when it's shtei avodas. There's no reason to mention Zakhlal. And then what's right? Kasha, according to him, would be a kasha why Rabbi Yehuda uses that wording. Okay. So then the Gemara is going to continue and discuss this whole matter of different thoughts within one avoda, and then of course different avodas, and continue talking about all these rules of pigul.
I mean, I would respond for Ilfa. I would respond for Ilfa that the Tanakhama said of Zakhlal. So
Tanakhama did not say Zakhlal. Oh, he did. He said Zakhlal. I mean, yeah, okay, fine. You could say fine. Maybe that's Zakhlal. Why it's only Akasha now? It's Yoga. Okay. Good. Okay.
Yeah, the first part when I came in. Yeah.